This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Good morning. Hour two rolling along. Good Monday to you. So the Lakers and the Celtics have game four. I mean, the Lakers and the Nuggets, I should say, have game four tonight in Los Angeles. Lakers trying to stay alive in this series. And the Celtics and the Heat played game three last night. Celtics just gave it up. And Miami now has a 3-0 series lead. And now, you know, look, we've said this all playoffs along in the Eastern Conference. Eric Spoelstra is a brilliant coach, and what he gets out of his team has been remarkable. You're talking about a whole bunch of undrafted guys that are contributing along with playoff Jimmy to make this incredible run where they've knocked off Milwaukee, the New York Knicks, and now the Celtics. And this run against the Celtics is their most impressive because there isn't something that you can kind of point to in the series that the other team was deficient in. I mean, people were like, well, beating Milwaukee, nah, they didn't have Giannis, and then Giannis wasn't 100%. All right, fine. Then in the Knicks series, it was like, well, you know, the Knicks were a 5 seed, and they have some issues, and they didn't play with a lot of intensity and a lot of effort. Okay, fine. But what they're doing to the Celtics team is they're just beating up on Boston. Boston is not down Jason Tatum. They're not down Jaylen Brown. They're not trying to recover from an injury to one key guy or that key guy. They're just getting beat, and they're getting beat pretty handedly. And now Miami is a win away from going to the NBA Finals. They've been to 3 conference finals where they've played against the Celtics, and now they've wanted the Celtics because they knew they could match up with the Celtics. And last night took Boston so much out of their game that the Celtics just quit. Just quit. And Miami rolled. Likewise, on the flip side, as we talked about this morning, the Lakers have given everything they've got in this series against Denver, and the Nuggets are just good. The Nuggets are just better. And I didn't believe, count me as one of the teams at the beginning of the postseason that would not have picked Denver to go to the finals. It had nothing to do with Jokic and Jamal Murray. It had nothing to do with Mike Malone. It just looked a little, when I looked at the picture at the very beginning of the playoffs, and it's easy to sort of go back now and go, yeah, I should have saw that. But what I saw was a couple of things where I was like, all right, you know what? I think the Golden State Warriors are going to turn on a switch. The Lakers are playing way better than we think. The Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant are 8-0 in the regular season when he was in their lineup. Be very careful of that team. And even a Clippers team that was going into their series in the opening round without Paul George still had Kawhi Leonard, and he played great for them in the playoffs. And I thought, you know what? When he plays, the Clippers had a very good record. You know, they monitored him. They load management, his season. This is another threatening team. So when I looked at the obstacles that Denver had in the West, they were pretty daunting. And the Nuggets were not in an explosive team. They didn't blow anybody up in the regular season to make us go, whoa, 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 slow down. All they had was Jokic and Jamal Murray, who's playing outstanding in these playoffs. But they had a very good team that was built around Jokic, a team that they have been spending a few years finding the right pieces. How do you account for Bruce Brown? How do you account for him arriving in Denver and finding the role and fulfilling that role? How does Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the former Laker, get to Denver and find a position that where he is utilized in the best way? Michael Porter Jr., had a back injury in college when he was at Missouri, is now healthy enough to really contribute to this Nuggets team. Again, Jamal Murray is healthy now, and Jokic has got all of his playing partners around him, all knowing exactly who they do. And he said something interesting at the end of game three, which was when we pass the ball, we're so hard to stop. And when we're rolling along, he said, it's like poison. But he didn't mean poison. He said, not poison. He was trying to find the right English word to describe it. And the word he was looking for, as a reporter, told him, was contagious. And that's basically it. So he's trying to think of the right word, but he was right. It is contagious. They move the basketball so efficiently and so well. That is why they're so good, and they can withstand any run that you make. I'm not kidding. This is not hyperbole. I think the Lakers are giving everything they've got at this team. I really do. That Saturday night, watching it, it just hits you in a way that you go, you know what? They're not good enough. They're not good enough to beat this Denver team. You see it all the time. Let's go to golf for a second. I can remember guys that would play Tiger Woods in you know, when Tiger was at his peak. I'm not trying to compare Denver to Tiger Woods, but hear me out on this. I remember the PGA Championship in 2000 when Bob May was in a playoff with Tiger Woods, or when Rocco Mediate was in a playoff with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open on a broken leg, when Tiger had a broken leg. You just knew it was like these guys needed shots, miracle shots. They weren't going to make the 25-foot putt. They weren't going to chip it in. They weren't going to knock it around a tree to 2 feet. Like, these guys had to be down the middle. They had to hit their shots to 10 feet. They had to make some of those, but two putt every green. Anything where they miscued, they were going to lose. Bob May couldn't hit it in a bunker. He couldn't hit it in the rough. He couldn't, lip out a putt. There was no room for error when you played Tiger in a playoff setting, right? When you matched up with him, whether it was a four-hole, sudden death, full 18, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. He was going to wrap it around the tree. He could drive it wild and still make birdie, and you couldn't. And that's the way I feel about this Lakers team. Anthony Davis can score 40 points and they can still lose. LeBron James could have a good game and they could still lose. But when you make a mistake, like when LeBron misses a layup where the ball falls out of his hands because he's trying to do something special with it, or when they got it down to three with 45 seconds remaining in the first game and he missed a three-pointer, you just can't do it. You have to be more perfect than them. And that's the way I look at this Western Conference. The Nuggets just can beat you. They just know how to beat you. And what Jokic was saying, we're going to move the basketball around. That's how we slow the game a little bit. But more importantly, we know each other so well. We are. It's contagious, meaning we're going to score. We're going to find the right spot to score from. So any run you make, we're going to nullify that run. And it's going to be really hard. The Lakers are just not going to win this in four. I know people want to jump on the LeBron narrative. LeBron is like Tiger, right? We do this with Tiger. He'd come to these golf courses practically in a wheelchair. And we'd go, well, he's Tiger. Like, yeah, but there's Rory and there's Jordan Spieth and John Rahm and Justin Thomas. Nope, he's still Tiger. Yeah, I know he's going to the first tee on crutches. But he's Tiger. LeBron is like that. LeBron's missing three-pointers, trying to do a windmill dunk at 38 years old, right? Balls bouncing off his foot out of bounds. But he's still LeBron, and you think that there's going to be some way he taps into a 15-year past where he's a young man and he's going to be able to just lift this team, drag this team kicking and screaming to four straight victories. And I just don't see it. This is not a knock on LeBron. The Nuggets are just too good. They're too good. And now a lot of people around the world are going to wake up to a Nuggets team that they have not paid attention to in the finals.
Yep.
And that's the way it's going to be. And Miami is going to be their opponent because the Celtics are absolutely not coming back from a 3-0 deficit.
Venture to say, even though the Lakers will probably lose tonight and get swept, the Celtics will get swept first.
Right, yeah. The Celtics should just write a letter to the NBA. We're taking the flight home, and we're not showing. I mean, come on. That was embarrassing last night. What are they doing? They're not even living to fight another day. There's no fight in them.
No, and that's why, I mean, it's like you have two potential sweeps happening. One is just ugly. And the other one, I mean, it's competitive, but the Lakers just don't have it.
This is what I'm telling you right now. This is making David Stern roll over in his grave. These Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals that are four-game sweeps.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Well, we said it at the very beginning, and it still is holding true. Western Conference is just a better conference. It's much more entertaining.
Oh, much better.
I mean, even though, it's hard as a fan to watch your team lose four, three straight. And be in it all the way. It's just the fact that it's like I get the feeling now. It's like at least you guys are in it. At least you guys are trying. You guys are pushing it. I mean, you guys. If the game was 5 minutes left, they'd be 2-1 up in the series.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is, what Brad Stevens in Boston has to deal with is this: you cannot be swept in four games. four games by the Miami Heat, and if that happens, if you can with the lackluster effort they had in the series, well, it's somebody paying a price for that. This is a franchise where Havlicek stole the ball. This is a series where Larry Bird steals the ball away and gets it to Dennis Johnson on a layup in a game five that tore the building apart. This is a team that, again, this is a franchise that is super proud of every of their. They don't put Eastern Conference championships on the banner. They don't do any of that stuff. You go to other arenas and you see division titles and conference titles. They don't. They only put world championships on the banners up in Boston. And you cannot have a franchise that laid an egg like this without somebody paying a price. And that price is going to fall on Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at it, I mean, you know, Budenholzer got fired.
Right.
You know, name your playoff coaches. There's three of them that got fired. Monty Williams. And they had great teams.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it was just, I mean, Monty Williams firing was just because of the new owner.
And, yeah, that's very true. And maybe Brad Stevens is more of a calmer head where he's like, look, I'm not going to fire a guy after 1 year. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to do something. Because this is a very proud. Look, when I was in Denver, when I arrived in Denver in 2001, and I was there until 2012, and I know that it was Broncos country. The second I got there, I knew this group cared about Denver Broncos more than anything. But there is a group of Nuggets fans who've been there their whole lives since the ABA days that have never seen a team like this, ever seen a team like this. And it's one win away from their first NBA Finals. God bless them. I mean, really, God bless. We'll get the good, the bad, and the dumb coming next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Monday to you. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Oh, a weekend of good. Let's get the good of the day.
Oh, the good of the day came yesterday.
Yes.
For yours truly.
All right.
Who got back on the horse after 15 years, Tony.
Haven't played soccer in 15 years.
I haven't played competitive soccer in 15 years. And so
how do you play soccer uncompetitively?
Well, when I kicking around with my kids. You know, I've coached teams.
That's not
teams.
Soccer, that's practice.
Well, I've coached teams, and, you know, I've jumped on the field and ran around with them from time to time. But this was the first time in 15 years where I laced it up with men my own age, and we went out there and played in an actual game where there was an actual ref.
Awesome.
And, I held my own.
How many goals did you score? You scored any goals?
Yeah, I got a hat trick.
Nice, good for you.
Yeah, we ended up winning first time. I mean, I still don't know everyone's team or everyone's name on this team. I mean, we literally met for the first time yesterday. I knew the person who put it together. I brought my brother Chris out there to play with us as well. And, I mean, you know, we won 5-0. We looked good out there as a team. I was impressed.
Awesome.
But, a little bit of the bad today is that I do not think my legs work anymore.
Yeah, right. That's what happens when you get older. It's happened when you've crossed the Rubicon of 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm the oldest on the team, but I'm sure feeling it today.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But then it'll all come natural.
Yeah, more
games you play, the less sore you'll be.
I just got to be prepared for next Sunday.
That's right.
That's all it is. I got to be healed up. I got to be fine. I got to be able to run by next Sunday. But yeah, you know, this old man still had it.
Get yourself an ice bath.
I might.
That's what they say.
I might.
It's not a new thing, but it seems like a new fad.
My wife did tell me that I did not move one moment last night.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. So you didn't move at all. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I even know. I didn't move.
Well, that's an awesome good. So then what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, the Preakness.
Okay, the Preakness. Is it because Bob Baffert's horse hell of a moment?
Bob Baffert, National Treasure, won the Preakness. I think the problem with the Preakness, first of all, is that there was only seven horses that were in it. And outside of Mage, no Kentucky Derby horses.
There were no Kentucky Derby horses in the field. Baffert was back in the sport, but he also had another horse that they had to take down because it had an ankle problem.
Well, that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah. It's Hell of a Moment or something, I think is the name of the horse.
It was for him.
So the Preakness was bad because of...
why isn't... you know, I mean, back in our day, didn't all the Kentucky Derby horses compete in the Preakness?
Yeah, that's right.
It's almost like now if you like you didn't win the Kentucky Derby, you're opting out. You're skipping the Preakness.
Well, I don't want to go that far because I do know that you can still get good money for being in the Preakness. You do it a lot of it because of the health reasons of the horse, and you are racing like they're horse racers. They're not. Like their these horses run all the time. They're not just training and then they show up. They're running in the Santa Anita. They're running at Churchill Downs. They're running in Florida Derby. Like they're going to different events. I think there's some things about the Preakness where it was like the Churchill Downs was so traumatizing with these horses and the conditions. I don't think they ran, but I do think there is something about. Yeah, all right. We didn't win, but we're not going to.
All right. So, what's the difference between now and like 20 years ago when
I don't know
when I don't remember ever hearing. You know, seven horses getting put down.
That's very true. That's what I want to know. What's happening with horses? Why, like when it came out that another Bob Baffert horse died, there were like people calling for like, well, he's doing something. Like, go look at him again. Like, yeah. there's like a lot of anger online about it. I don't know. That area is so foreign to me on how horses are prepped and. Like I don't know much about like the health of horses. Like we always hear like if a horse breaks its leg, you have to euthanize him, right?
Right.
But now it's like, well, he hurt his ankle and they euthanize him. Like at what point can a horse be saved and a horse cannot be saved? I'm not an expert on that.
I know. I mean, I figure, if the horse is a family member, it's going to be right. Do horses' bones not heal?
Yeah. Is
I mean, I know that they have to walk around on them and stuff like that they just can't rest it. But we don't shoot dogs.
No, they're not killing the horses because they're no good anymore. You know what I mean? They're not like oh, you stupid horse, now you can't race. Like they're not doing that. Like are they mercy killing the horses because the horses can't. They're in tremendous pain, right, and the pain's not the something's not going to heal right for them to be able to stand on their legs and.
Yeah, I get that. If it's not going to heal right, I get that. But you mean to tell me that we don't have technology that we can keep a horse alive?
That's where my expertise doesn't come in to make a judgment call. Like I don't want to say I would look stupid if I went to vets and said you can't keep that horse alive, and they look at me. No, we can't.
Right.
Like I'm sorry. Idiot sports talk show host, you don't know the medical conditions of this horse. This horse, we're doing a mercy killing on this horse. Like, stop accusing us of my profession isn't to kill animals because the owner doesn't want to pay for it anymore. Like, that's not what I do. I'm doing this because the horse is in trouble and is not going to survive. Like, he's not going to be able to walk. It's not going to be able to. So I don't want to get into that because I'm going to look dumb because I don't have knowledge of the medicine, the veterinary medicine of what goes on. But all I know is there's been a lot going on.
It seems to be a whole lot.
And that's to me, yet another horse. It's like, how many horses in this year are done? Like what's happening here?
I mean, for every single race, it's like, oh, by the way, you know, it's just like rolling this scrolling list of horses that had to be put down prior to the race.
Exactly. But you know, there's also like I have my dog, for example, has a busted nail, and she won't walk.
Right.
Like we take her for walks, won't walk. But you know what's my problem? Like we're taking her to the vet tomorrow.
You gonna shoot her?
No, but I'm afraid we're gonna. Yeah, there's nothing we can do. Yeah, like say goodbyes, get the kids in.
Yep.
What'd she
die from? Hangnail.
Like, what? Like that's I'm so naive with this. Like I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like she's 12 years old. She's heading to that part of her life anyway. But I'm like, we take her in Tuesday. My wife's taking her in Thursday. If I get a phone call, like you got to come down here. Yeah, they're telling us it's this.
It's time.
Like I don't know.
I get nervous. I know exactly what you say. I mean, I've had dogs that like my parents' dog, I think had a broken leg or a busted knee or something. I don't know what the official thing was, but it was a puppy. They didn't put him down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm curious. I mean, I know there's a lot more weight on a horse. I get it. And the legs are very, very skinny, but there's no way of saving a horse that the only thing is to, you know, pop it right between the eyes and call it a day.
Well, I don't think they shoot them, do they?
I think they don't they inject them with
well,
something.
I don't know. I know they did back in the day.
I know.
They the only way to day. You know the only way to cure a horse was to kill it.
They didn't have the medicine. They just yeah. Well, they did that with what's the dog? What made everybody cry?
Yeller.
Old Yeller. Yeah. They had to go. They had a Old Yeller.
Well, so. I guess because Old Yeller got rabid, right?
Rabid. Yeah. That's but they didn't take it to the vet and inject it with something peaceful. They went,
yeah. Don't worry. He's just going to sleep.
I know.
And goodness never waking gracious. Up.
But no, I'm curious too, because it just feels like there's a lot. And like, I have a friend of mine, she's big on animal rights, you know, so she posts on her social media.
Of course.
All these, like, horse racing should be banned and stuff. And I go, that's ridiculous. But then I go, but I see where you're coming from. Like, I see what you're seeing, which is horses that are bred to race. And then they don't race, and then that's it.
Right.
Like that, like.
And I
that,
honestly, like, but.
That's the only reason they got hurt is because they were forced to run around a track at high speed.
And aside from that, though, but, you know, with regards to the Preakness, I feel like if you enter the Kentucky Derby, it should say, you know, barring injury or the fact that right. you have to shoot your horse. Sorry, I'm going to go with shooting your horse instead
yeah,
of, you
that's
know,
a good question, though. Why wasn't more than one horse from the Kentucky Derby in the Preakness?
But shouldn't you have to sign something going, hey, you're going to compete in all three
yeah.
events?
But you know what? The problem that I have with the he can't, they didn't win the Kentucky Derby, so they didn't go to the Preakness. If you win the Preakness, your stud fees still go up
right.
by a ton. Like, you just because you didn't win the Kentucky Derby doesn't mean you can't win the Preakness, and it doesn't mean you can't win the Belmont. And you don't need to be a Triple Crown horse to get top dollar stud fees for your horse or raise the value of your horse. So, and since Triple Crowns are very, very, very rare, it seems ridiculous to shoot for that or nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I've invested millions and millions of dollars in this horse, in training, and all the stuff, in the transportation, and he loses the Kentucky Derby, and now I'm going to just go, that's it? It's no, take him to the Preakness, see if they win the Preakness, see if they... Like, there were some favorites in the Kentucky Derby that should have been at the Preakness. There were horses, Forte, like, why wasn't Forte in the Preakness? I don't know. But these are decisions trainers and owners are making, like, yeah, well, I don't want to have my horse die, I guess. I don't know.
I don't either.
That's a great question, though. Why are they? So we're going to get the dumb coming back.
Yeah, we'll get the dumb coming on the other side.
It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Brady.
Here's Tony D.
All right, well, continuing along on Sports Map Radio, let's get to the dumb of the day as we continue the good, bad, you know, and the dumb here on a Monday.
The dumb of the day. And this guy's been on the dumb, I think, once or twice or maybe 100 times. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, yeah. Is this about his football league?
This is about his football league. Now, if you didn't know this, back in, I want to say March of this year, he bought a football team. And I think we had talked about it then.
Arena team, right?
Arena Football League, yeah. The Albany Empire, which is, it's not the same team, but his dad played for Albany.
Okay.
Way,
how many
way
arena
back.
Leagues are there? Is there a bunch of them?
I don't know. This is the Arena Football
this
League.
This is the one, right?
Yeah.
This isn't like another minor brand of this.
Yeah. So. Okay. Quick synopsis of what Antonio Brown has done with this team. 10 days before the season was about to start, he fired the coach, citing payroll issues. Now, leading up to this, he only owned 47.5%, but he said he owned 100% of the team. The other owners of the team fought that. Then he ended up buying out the top owner, and now he owns 95% of the team. There's still another owner that owns 5% of the team.
Okay.
But now he can make sole decisions by himself. Which he has done, because he fired the head coach 10 days before the start of the season, like I said, citing payroll issues, but then hired him back a few weeks later when payroll finally figured itself out. He also got rid of the MVP of the league, who was their starting quarterback, and the MVP, who was wide receiver. They had a game last weekend. I think it was against Jacksonville. Let's just go with it because we don't know. We don't follow Arena Football
League. Yeah, sure.
And they lost 70-something to 20-something. I don't. It doesn't matter the final score. Just know that it was on par of Heat over Celtics. How about that?
Got it. Okay.
And the quarterback of Jacksonville was the quarterback that he let go. It's gotten so bad. Antonio Brown has decided that he himself, the next home game, is going to lace up and show everyone how it's done, how to play this game. And
so he's going to play for the Albany Empire?
He's going to play for his team that he owns because he's the owner. He can do what he wants.
Wow.
I have a feeling another firing is coming up because the social media department of Albany, of his team, had no problems taking a shot with showing the final score and going, you know, it's like, oh, I wish we had an MVP quarterback or something like that.
Did I get that right? Do we know the name of this team?
It's Albany Empire.
Is it the Albany Empire?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, because I'm trying to figure out their league, but it doesn't really have a lot on their what the league is. I remember like the Colorado Crush and the Tampa Bay Storm, and like it was on TV. And now it's those are the Iowa Barnstormers, famously with Kurt Warner. What is their league? And
well,
what are
the
their
current
teams?
Members? The current members are Albany Empire. Carolina Cobras, Fayetteville Mustangs, Jacksonville Sharks, Predators, San Antonio Gunslingers,
all right,
and West Texas Warbirds.
All right, very cool. All right, very good.
And you said you former team. You what was the team you said?
Like there was a Colorado Crush, and there was like the Iowa Barnstormers, and the Tampa Bay Storm. Like, it was a bunch of them. This is old.
Maybe that's a different league.
I don't know if they exist anymore. I don't know if they're around. They may not be around anymore.
Yeah, because didn't John Elway also own a team?
Yeah, he owned a team that won the championship.
So, I mean, this is National Arena League. Maybe there's a different...
But again, they might have folded. These things come and go on a consistent basis.
I mean, there was a team called Louisville Extreme.
Yeah.
Right? And it shows the years of their existence, and all it says is never played.
Oh, see, you know. Yeah, I'm looking at the Colorado Crush. Yeah, they folded in 2008. So they were done.
Okay, so, you know, you're the Indoor Football League.
So there's an Indoor Football League and an Arena Football League.
Colorado Crush weren't part of Indoor Football, but I had the Iowa Barnstormers there.
So this is it's like at your own peril. Own these things at your own peril because very opportunity they'll probably fall.
Yeah, all the Albany teams only been there, I think, since 2001.
That's good. What do you mean since 2001? That's 22 years.
No, I mean, sorry, 21.
Okay. So only a year, 2 years. Okay. Yeah.
Did I not say
that's amazing? That's like an amazing success story.
Did I not
say
the two, Tony? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I did that the other day. I made a mistake. My wife, like, no, that's not. I go, okay. I missed the 20. I'm sorry.
I don't know what to make of this, but you know what? We should be hearing more about it because it would, and you'll probably be seeing highlights because if he does,
why is they letting Antonio Brown near anything?
I don't know. Well, I mean, letting him. He let himself in. He bought the team.
Yeah, but you don't buy unless there's a seller. If I own my laptop, somebody can't just walk in the door and go, here's $1,000 and then just leave.
I mean, somebody
like somebody's
really...
got to go. Like, you can be part of this. We want to sell it, and maybe he's the only one that bought it. Does he own it outright, or is he?
He owns 95%.
There you go. So you just
and I'm trying to figure this out because there was another person.
Some people want it out, and they didn't care who they sold it to.
Right. Yeah, I think that's 100% right.
Right.
I think it was somebody, Mike. It was Mike Quarta owned part of it. He owned the other 47.5, but it looked like
he's probably like, we are hemorrhaging money and I'm out.
Now, I'm looking at Wikipedia. I don't know if this is 100% thing, but it says Antonio Brown bought Quarta's 47.5% stake for a dollar.
Oh, wow.
On April 19th.
So something else was going on. You know what that was? You know what that is? That is, I need out of this. and nobody will give me money for it, but I can't put any more money into it. So I will just take my losses and leave. So this whole venture cost me X amount of dollars, but it's not going to cost me any more than right now. So here's, take it for a dollar, as long as you take over what this thing costs, because I'm tired of writing personal checks.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any, we have no way of getting, I get it.
A newspaper in Albany called the Times Union says Brown has no personal ownership or control over the empire, and that the team is actually owned by Antonio El Ala Express Trust Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
So I'm curious. I mean, it seems like he has control. He put his father as
that sounds good.
He put his father as general manager, president.
No, that sounds like he's got full control.
It does.
There was an ownership that said, I can't do this. No, I thought this would be a cool investment, a cool thing to do. It's not. It's extremely expensive. There's no money coming in, and you can have it.
Yeah, I wonder how much it is to buy a team.
You know,
if you're willing to sell your percentage for a dollar,
how bad are you losing money? Not that long ago where Kiss owned an indoor football team in Southern California.
Nice.
The LA Kiss. And they had a whole reality show based on it. And these are the Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, you could argue, are two of the biggest money-making commercial rock stars in the history of music. Like, they were willing to put Kiss logos on anything and everything. Kiss socks, underwear, cartoons, color forms, you name it. And this entire series was a little football, but those two just complaining bitterly on how much money it cost. Like, the entire thing was, we are losing money left and right, the whole thing. But yeah, it's they're rich, and they still were like, ugh. These things, they do fine, but you know what it is? It's the travel. It's taking a whole group of people to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And putting them in hotels and flights and everything. No matter what you make at the gate, it's like, oh God, that's going to cost us a fortune.
So, well, I mean, to own an arena football league, you have to pay the $20,000 application.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
And show at least $5 million net worth and another million in liquid assets.
Because we're going to get it all.
Yeah, but the annual budget usually runs between $650,000 and $1 million.
Oh, God. That seems like nothing for rich people.
It does. It seems like
nothing.
That would
like
just
a
be a
tax write-off.
It'd be like going fishing for a weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't seem like a lot of money at all.
Goodness. But there's probably, I mean, you know, we waiting to welcome to Wrexham.
I was forgetting the
name of the show. I mean, we found out quickly that, yeah, they bought the team for like $2.5 million or something like that. But they had to, you know, put $1 million into the payroll, put $1 million into the field in the stadium. And
that is something, that is embedded into the lifestyle of the people of that area.
Yes.
Where that if you do it right, they'll come. You can have a arena football team that is winning and you get exciting halftime shows. People still may not go.
Albany Empire, I mean, they were founded in 2020. They joined in 2021. There's no fan base there.
Yeah. When I was in the International Basketball League, I joined it in its inaugural season in media and broadcasting. And they told us, they were like, we spent 5 years working the numbers, and we have enough money to last X amount of years. It lasted 1 year. They like, every plan that they had in building that league was thrown out the window the second they started playing basketball. We used to cash those checks quickly.
Yep.
All right, we'll continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, the breaking news, Carmelo Anthony has announced his retirement from the NBA. One of the most prolific scorers in NBA history. He is ninth in career points. That is the thing Carmelo Anthony could do. Like, he was a great scorer. Didn't play good defense, was never a defensive kind of player. That was always the criticism of him, but no one could doubt that what he did best was score the basketball. He was fantastic at that. And he retires after 19 seasons, mostly with the Nuggets and the New York Knicks, although he did play for Houston and Oklahoma City and then with the Lakers last season.
Yep.
And now Portland, I think he played for Portland, but now he's done.
All right, question for you.
Championship at Syracuse, yep.
Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
No question.
Despite no rings?
No, he's going in. He's one of the top scorers in league history. He averaged over 22 points in 19 seasons. He's definitely going in. Plus, he won a college basketball championship for Syracuse, and yeah. Syracuse is only one, and it's not just the NBA Hall of Fame, it's a basketball Hall of Fame, and he's an international player. He's been an international ambassador for Team USA.
Does he have, like, all the gold medals, too?
Yeah, he's one of the only – yeah, exactly.
It's like the best Olympian ever.
I'm sorry, he was on the 04 team, I think. I was on the 04 team, the one that went to Athens and got the bronze.
Yeah.
He was on that team. But he's played in a number of Olympics in his career. He loves playing in Olympic basketball. He's part of the Team USA legacy, redeem team, all of that. Yeah, his basketball resume is pretty awesome. Never went to a finals, by the way. Never even played in the finals. But what made it to a Western Conference championship with the Nuggets in 09. He's got three gold medals, Beijing, London, and Rio de Janeiro. And again, won a championship at Syracuse. And again, with Syracuse being one of the, I don't want to say blue blood. That's a little bit crazy, but because they're not North Carolina or Kansas, but Syracuse is a big program in college basketball. A lot of it's because of what Jim Boeheim was building, and they played in this dome that was big and loud, and the rivalry with John Thompson and Georgetown, and they played in the Big East when the Big East was a formidable, important college basketball conference back in the day before they moved to the ACC. But when you talk about Syracuse basketball and all the Final Fours they went to, they only have one championship, and Carmelo Anthony was on it. So definitely part of the Basketball Hall of Fame. But I was in Denver when he was drafted, and he was drafted in the 03 class, which yeah. was LeBron and Dwayne Wade Chris Bosh. I mean, that was incredible. And you know what's funny class. Is Darko Milicic was the second pick,
yep.
and Melo got down to Denver. And we always kind of joke about teams running to the podium, and I remember Nuggets just losing their mind the idea that they were going to get Carmelo Anthony. It was such a big, big night at the draft. And Melo did something. I talked about this briefly. The Nuggets have a very special place in the city of Denver because the Avalanche arrived in 1996. They won the Stanley Cup their first year. But if you want to talk about long generational length, they're relatively new, right, to the city of Denver. The Rockies came into the league in 1993 in the first expansion wave along with the, at the time, Florida Marlins. And so they're relatively new. The Broncos had been around forever, and the Nuggets had been around forever. And the Nuggets had Alex English and a couple of other players, but never were a formidable force. They had that one moment where Dikembe Mutombo had the ball, and they had upset Seattle, but they didn't have anything else. When I arrived in Denver as a sports director, I'm a young sports director, and I'm trying to learn the lay of the land, I was reaching out to Denverites, like long-time Denver reporters, about the hierarchy of the teams, and the Nuggets at the time were terrible. I mean, terrible. They had like bring in a winter coat, get two tickets kind of nights. I remember Juwan Howard was on the team, and we took our son at the time to a game. We had really good seats, and we just wanted him to go to a basketball game at like 4 years old. And Juwan Howard is up on the thing. He's thanking people for coming. They're in last place. They're terrible. And then Carmelo came, and they made the playoffs immediately. And they had this problem where they would lose in the first round all the time. And people's association with Melo was, Melo's great, but he doesn't really want to be here. He doesn't play defense, but that wasn't his game. And over the years, people loved what the Nuggets were doing, but it was always like, can we do a little more? Can we stop losing in the first round? Like, can we get to, like, round two? They got to the conference finals in 09, but then there was this, you kind of could tell, his wife was like, we ain't going to stay in this cow town. We're going to go someplace. They want to go to New York. And in 2010 and 2011 season was when, 2009, 2010, it was around that time, was when it really started to ratch up about what exactly are the Nuggets going to do with Melo? Like, that's when people were really starting to go, look, this isn't really working, and we have to figure out what's going to happen here. Like, are you going to stay, and we're going to build a team around Melo, or we're going to end up trading Carmelo Anthony someplace else? And eventually did. And they got a bunch of pieces from the Knicks, and they actually played a little better as a team. They weren't that good. And Melo took the Knicks to the playoffs a few times. But I remember it was like every night it was Carmelo Anthony watch. And it was like every home game. I remember telling you guys this story. We had a reporter. So I was doing the night show. And part of the night show in Denver was doing post game for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. And we were at a restaurant across the street from the Pepsi Center, now Ball Arena. And that's where we were. We were there for every Avs game and every Nuggets home game. So we had reporters, one covered the Avalanche, one covered the Nuggets, and they would go to the game and they'd do their reporting and they would come back and they would be on the show. We'd talk. And the guy that did the Nuggets stuff for us, every night he'd come in and he would say things like, Melo said goodbye to the security lady. Melo said goodbye to the maintenance worker. Melo said goodbye to the locker room attendant. And so we would be like, okay, he must know something. Any moment, any day, there's going to be a trigger pull. And the Brooklyn Nets were being owned by this Russian oligarch, you know, and he made some comments about Melo. And then next thing you know, we were like, where is he going? Why isn't this working? Where is he going? And then eventually the deal was the trigger got pulled and he went to the Knicks and he got what he wanted in the end. But I'll never forget. He was on Conan, I think, or some late night talk show. I want to say it was Conan, and he was with the Nuggets, and he's in Los Angeles, and he's on these late night talk show. And I think it was during the playoffs. I can't remember when it was, but they asked him like, where are you going to be? Where are you going to go? And he goes, I'm a Nugget. And the crowd applauded. And I'm like, why would an LA crowd applaud a guy saying he's going to continue to play in Denver? Like, if that wasn't a applause sign moment on late night talk shows, I didn't know what it was. But it was so contentious. Like, you could cut it with a knife, man. The tension was so thick between Josh Kroenke, owned the Denver Nuggets, and Carmelo Anthony's camp. You could just tell he did not want to be in that city. But he was a great player. Like, he was a guy that would pour in 30 a night with a blink of an eye, could shoot it like nobody's business. And we knew in Denver we were not going to get a player like that for a long time. There was not going to be a player like that for a long time. And you want to talk about landing a guy in the draft and thinking it's going to change your franchise, but it changes your franchise. It just made it perform better, but it didn't turn your Pinto into a race car. You know what I mean? Like, the Cavaliers went from a Pinto to a race car with LeBron James, right? Miami Heat went from a Pinto to a race car with Dwayne Wade, right? Those were the kind of draft picks that change your franchises, the image of it completely. The Nuggets went from a Pinto to like a pretty good car, like that could get you around and get you from point A to point B without breaking down. But it was never going to win the Indy 500. And that was basically Carmelo in Denver. But it was a fun time. It was a fun time to cover him in when I was in Colorado. It was a fun time because the Nuggets were better. And as I said earlier, there are this Nuggets team now that is one win away from the finals. That city has seen championships with the Avalanche. It's seen it just recently a cup. They've had three cups in the history of the Avalanche organization since they arrived from Quebec in 1996. The Broncos went to three. You remember, we all remember the Broncos going to three Super Bowls under Elway, but they had also lost with Craig Morton in Super Bowl 12, and they were 0-4 in the Super Bowls before Elway won the two, and then Peyton Manning won another. The Rockies have never won a World Series, but they played in the 2007 World Series, so there's a National League pennant. The Nuggets don't even have a Western Conference championship. All the years, again, the ABA to the NBA, they've never had an NBA championship. And yet that team has been in the fabric and the DNA of the locals there for generations, for a few generations. And so there's a lot of love for this Nuggets team that's not the new love for an Avalanche team that arrived within a, you know, 30-year period. Same thing with the Rockies. There's a lot of, like, my father rooted for this team. I have an old logoed shirt from when I was a kid, and I'm 48 years old now. And this team thought it had it with Carmelo, and now it's got it with Nikola Jokic. So congratulations, Carmelo Anthony, on a very, very successful career. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.